This is Target Score Weekly with Joey Slattery and Taylor Allen. Welcome into another episode of Target Score Weekly. I'm Joey Slattery. He's Taylor Allen. We've got another exciting episode this week. A ton going on. We've got some new signings for the Sea Bears that we're going to get to in a second. Taylor, March Madness is right around the corner, but we don't have a Sea Bear. We're taking a bit of a break. There's a lot of signings, but on today's episode, it's not actually a Sea Bears player that's on the podcast, but we've come to find out a bit of a Sea Bear super fan, Winnipeg Blue Bomber superstar Willie Jefferson, on this podcast this week and talking all hoops.
I was telling my girlfriend the other day that, yeah, we're having Willie Jefferson on the show, and she's like, wait, isn't that a football player? I'm like, yeah, but, you know, he's a big basketball fan and whatever. And, you know, I'm on the Bombers beat, so I'm at basically every Bombers practice and stuff. And, you know, you can only talk so much football, you know, in such a long season like that. So oftentimes there's been times where me and Willie will just chat about basketball. So one practice, just kind of have this idea like, hey, like, we should have Willie on the show. And sure enough, I mean, you see the Bombers at Sea Bears games all the time. And as you would expect, lots of these guys, you know, these American guys, they played basketball in high school and whatnot. And they're amazing athletes, obviously. So lots of guys on the team have really impressive basketball backgrounds, Willie being one of them. So it was cool having him on. My goal for the interview was not to ask him a single football question. And spoiler, I succeeded in that because I get to ask him about football all the time. So it was cool talking about something completely different than what he's used to always being asked about and whatnot. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I did have to ask one at the end. So I said, you know, we have a Blue Bomber on. We do have to ask one football question. So very quickly asked him about his season, but you're right. We didn't ask any in the formal interview, target time, any football related questions, at least to his team right now. And it was a great one. I also didn't ask him about, because he was so gracious with his time and gave us a great interview, but he's also a wrestling fan, I'm pretty sure, because I ran into him at Monday Night Raw, which was like super random because a fight broke out in the concourse on TV. There are a few Bombers in the background that I'm wondering if some fans caught it that are wrestling. I know you're a wrestling fan, and if you saw some Bombers.
Billy and Jamarcus Hardrick were there. I think it was Becky Lynch and the GOAT, Trish Stratus. They were battling in the concourse, and yeah, you could see them right on TV. There was Willie and Jamarcus, and they're going wild in the back. I think quite a few Bombers, Brady Oliveira, Rasheed Bailey, they were sitting second or third row at that Monday Night Raw. So yeah, they got more than just football going on, these guys. But yeah, Willie, I mean, we kept him a little long, so we did kind of have to shave off target time a little bit. We should do five questions each, so we got four in each, but it was another good one for sure.
Yeah, it was awesome. It is coming up. We'll get to that in just a second, but we do have some signings to get to. So as we already know, our last episode, Mason Bercier, the newest Sea Bears guard, was signed, and was a great interview. If you haven't checked out that podcast, take a look back. He was a very, very insightful interview. Very excited to see what he brings to Winnipeg. Since then, though, a couple big signings. As expected, the most recent one, Shane Osiande. We kind of expected he was coming back. It is now official. He is back. He's out playing in Qatar right now. And another big signing. Doesn't pop out on the score sheet, Taylor, but David Mooncat, who played with Scarborough last year, he is a CEBL champion. He's coming here. He is an electric, electric forward that isn't going to give you 20 points a game. I'm looking at his averages right now in his... Currently, he's playing out in Basketball Bundesliga for the Frapton Skyliners, and he's averaging 10.3 and 6 boards a game. But last year was 7.2 points and 5.8 rebounds for Scarborough. But I would make the argument all of those points were highlight reels. This guy can jump out of the gym. He's so exciting to watch. He's a great in-game dunker, a guy that's going to give you that jolt when you need it. I'm really excited to see this guy play. I think he's going to be a great addition to this team, and it's another Canadian. That's another thing, Taylor. All the five guys I just named, the five guys that have been signed, Chad Posthumus, Alex Campbell, Mason Bercier, David Mooncat, Shane Osiande, all Canadians. The roster needs to be made up of 6 to 8 Canadians, depending on the active roster size. Two Canadians have to be on the court at all times. And when you look at Alex Campbell, two-time Bandit MVP, he's a champion in 2019 with the Rattlers. Osiande's a champion in 2019 with the Rattlers. Chad Posthumus, 2019 champion with the Rattlers. We're starting to see a little bit come together here with some that championship pedigree Mike Taylor's looking to add, and all Canadian, which is a huge boost.
The Sea Bears were a really good team last year, but they weren't a great team because to me, it was the Canadian talent just wasn't quite on par with some of the best teams in the league. So going into this offseason for me, my big thing was if this team is going to be a championship caliber team, they really need to improve their Canadian talent. I mean, Simon Hildebrand was awesome for them last year. Chad Possumus, you know, did his role very well. But, you know, outside of Shane Asiande off the bench, you know, love the energy that he would bring and whatnot. But, I mean, outside of those three, it was a little inconsistent from their Canadians quite often. I mean, Glenn Yang at the point guard position, he had his spurts, but overall, that was a spot they really needed to improve at. But right now, I think they have knocked it out of the park. Like, we don't know all the American talent yet. So far, Teddy Allen is the only American that's been signed. But if they can bring in two really strong American players to join this core of Canadians that they have right now, this team is going to be much better than they were last year. And they were already a good team last year. They were a playoff team last year. So if you're a Sea Bears fan, I know we just got this league. We just got this team here in Winnipeg and whatnot. So you hear some of these names and, you know, they're not, you know, not everyone here knows who these guys are right away. But when you see this summer, you'll see these guys, how much more experienced they are, what they bring to the table. And I think it's going to make a big difference right away for this team.
Well, you look at it, I mean, they already have a stellar backcourt. I mean, you got Teddy, Alex Campbell, Mason Bercier, and a pretty strong front court too. I mean, you look at, you know, Chad Posthumus, like, you know, with Osiande and Posthumus are a good tandem when it comes to playing time, right? I don't think you're going to see Chad putting, you know, 20, 25 minutes a game. And Shane Osiande came mid-season last year, right? So now he's going to get a fresh start depending on the ending of his season out in Qatar. But even you look at his numbers from last year. So, you know, in 144 pro games, interesting stat that was on the Sea Bears website. In 144 pro games, he's averaging 9.6 points, 7.2 rebounds a game, and 1.1 assists. Right now, he's playing for Al Shamal in the QBL out in Qatar. He's averaging 12.2 points, 8.4 rebounds, and 1.6 assists. He's getting better. You know what I'm saying? Like, his stat line out in Qatar is actually better than his career averages.
Well, let's pump the brakes a smidge. What do we know about the Qatari Basketball League? I'm sure it's a great league, but I mean, the CBL, I don't know. I'd imagine the CBL would have more.
Yes, but he's also averaging more minutes. So what he's getting out there is, you know, regardless of where the skill level is, it's still professional basketball. At the end of the day, he's taking on a bigger role there, playing more than 20 minutes, and he's putting up better numbers. So I think that's leaning in the right direction. If he comes here, his minutes might go back, but you know he's capable in a shorter season to play a few more minutes if need be, and he could be effective. So if he's playing out there and he's getting those numbers and it's above his career average, now I'd be more concerned if they were below his career average playing out there, for sure. I think I'd have more question marks there, but I like the fact that that is a significant bump considering he's playing more minutes. He's played all over the world. That's the other thing too. So whether you say, you know, Qatar, you can make the argument, but he's played in Spain. He's played in Canada. You know, he's played all over the world. I can't remember how many countries total he's played in his career. So I'm going to go ahead and say that he's answering the bell there, and I think he's going to better prep him here. So I like what I'm seeing with Osiande. I think he's going to have a bigger role this year. I can see his role expanding from last year simply because he's had some time with the team last year. He should have a full season. And he was big on the boards, right? I mean, especially on the offensive boards. Here's a guy that they're going to depend on to pull those down and, you know, try to get those, you know, when Teddy's not on, you know, the shot's going up. You need guys ready to rebound. And defensively, that could be key to getting out to the fast break and getting some open looks for Teddy. So really interested to see Osiande come back and see what his role and how that evolves from last year. But I'm really excited for Dave Mooncat. Like, just watching his highlight reels, if you get a chance, just go on YouTube or, you know, or Google his name and just go to the videos and see some of the highlight reels. He is a lot of fun to watch. And coming from Scarborough, a team that, you know, back-to-back finals appearances rather, and then last year winning the title and getting their redemption. Here's a guy that knows how to go, you know, the full length of the way and what it's going to take for the Sea Bears to get over that hump after. Not going to call it disappointing. I think, you know, we didn't know what to expect, and the fact that they had such a great regular season, but the playoffs were obviously cut short with the open round exit. So the expectation is higher this year. That's not a successful season for the Sea Bears. They need to win in the playoffs and give themselves a chance to go to the finals. I'm not going to say at this point that the expectation is finals. I want to see what the roster is going to look like when it's all said and done and what other teams' rosters are going to be. But I know the expectation in planning is they're trying to build a championship team. So I think that's a big addition to getting you over to at least the next level, a guy that's gone the whole distance, along with guys that have done it in the past as well. He's just your most recent guy, if that makes sense. So I and with a new team, right? Scarborough won in their second season. Well, Winnipeg's going in their second season. Can they do the same, right? They weren't able to get to the finals, unlike Scarborough in the first year. But this is the second year. Can you make the run? Adding a guy like that's huge. And it's nice when you get your price of admission when a guy's going to throw down a few nice dunks on top of the stars you already have.
I think Alex Campbell, though, is the name that kind of intrigues me the most. I mean, this is a guy who was a finals MVP a couple of years ago when the Rattlers won in year one. A finals MVP, a Canadian guy.
Was it finals or Canadian MVP? I can't remember now.
I think it was finals MVP, but yeah. Either way, if it was Canadian MVP, finals MVP, whatever, he played a big role in the Rattlers winning that.
Yeah.
Now you get that guy's experience and his talent. I mean, that's a huge pickup right there. So,
yeah.
Again, you look at last year's team, I think Shane might have been their best, most consistent Canadian. Because Simon and Chad, they kind of fluctuated a little bit, where Shane was probably their most consistent. You knew exactly what you were getting from Shane, basically night in and night out. And now with all these other guys that they brought in, I mean, there's four or five guys on a different night who are capable of being your best Canadian.
So I would say, if I'm looking at the signings right now and I have the list in front of me, I would say Alex Campbell, I think, has the biggest potential to be the most effective in terms of, you know, elevating the team, elevating other players. The one I'm most excited to see, I think, in terms of the potential, what's untapped because he's so young, is Mason Bercier. I think there's a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder. As you know, he mentioned in his interview, this is the first time he's coming to a team with established ownership and been established at least for a year in a city. Like, combined, he's got both. So there's a guy that I think could have the biggest impact. I think your staple is Alex Campbell. He's done it before. You kind of know what you get. Mason Bercier, I feel like, is on the rise, and I feel like he's getting a little bit more notoriety with every year. And then just from an entertainment standpoint, David Mooncat. I like watching his highlight reels. You know, you're not going to get, as I said, it's not going to be a bunch of game, but you're probably guaranteed to get one or two pretty big, you know, wow dunks where, you know, everybody's going to kind of have that whoa reaction to it. He's a lot of fun to watch.
They didn't really have that last year. Like, they didn't,
no,
like, they had some guys who could throw it down, obviously, but they didn't really have, like, okay, like, this guy could really take off. And
yeah, like, I remember, like, a Nick Ward, for instance, for Vancouver, like, just a big dude who can, like, power down. Like, we didn't really have those power down, you know, dunkers. Like, not to say that, you know, you don't need the dunks to win, but it's nice to have when, you know, you're watching, you want to be entertained. So I feel like that does answer that. And when you talk about a spark, there's nothing quite like a big block or a big power dunk, right? To get the bench fired up when you need it, or to put a game away, right? The exclamation point. So I think that's where you see him come into play. But either way, it's shaping up to be really good. You've got five Canadians, so you're one away from meeting the minimum six that you need. You've got, just with the Canadians alone, I think you've got a good starting lineup, and you only need to play two of them. So as you said, let's see. I'm interested to see what Mike Taylor has up his sleeves with the American players and what international player he's going to bring over. He's got some influence now with players that have played for him that are playing overseas. So I think we're in for an interesting few weeks here before we get into, because we're about, what, six to eight weeks away from training camp. I'm not too sure, but, well, 2 months, let's say. We're mid-March, a little less than 2 months away from training camp. So I can see some bigger signings coming in down the pipe. But we talked a lot of C-Bear so far. We've got the big interview with Willie Jefferson. I think we should get to it right now. As you're going to find out, big basketball fan, bigger C-Bears fan than I would have imagined, and he's got a great jersey collection. He's not a C-Bear, but he is a three-time Grey Cup champion, twice with the Bombers, and he's a huge basketball fan. Willie Jefferson, thanks for joining Target Score Weekly.
Thank you guys for having me.
How's the offseason going so far? This is your, what, second offseason in Winnipeg?
Yes, this is my second offseason in Winnipeg, and it is going smoothly in the gym, lifting weights, in the indoor, the Subway Center, running every Monday, Wednesday, getting the cardio, getting the plyos, change of direction, sprints and all that stuff in with the guys, and, you know, just enjoying the weather. When it was snowing, now that it's warming up and the snow is melting and stuff like that, just having the opportunity to still get out in the community and, you know, see new things, do new things, experience everything that Winnipeg has to offer for the offseason.
So there was a moment this past Bomber season where I was like, oh, man, we got to have Willie Jefferson on Target Scorer Weekly. So we were in the locker room one day. You and Jackson were sitting beside each other, as you guys always do. And me and Derek Taylor and you two, we were just talking basketball. I don't even know how this came up. And you and Jackson were rattling off a bunch of like really impressive NBA guys that you guys used to play against in your high school days and whatnot, and talking a bit about your days playing basketball growing up in Texas and whatnot. So Willie, maybe kind of take us through, we know your football career, what you can do on the gridiron, but what could Willie Jefferson do on the hardwood back in the day?
Back in the day, I played power forward center in Beaumont, Texas. I played for Beaumont Ozan all 4 years of my high school career. And I want to say ever since I was like 8 to 10, like doing like the AAU basketball circuit and stuff like that, traveling around with my city. I played for a couple of teams. Ground Zero Elite was the first team that I actually played for. It was a basketball team created by one of my best friends' parents, Mr. and Mrs. Boyd. They were our coaches, like growing up and things like that. So they basically took some kids from the city of Beaumont, put them together on the team, made a great organization, and we got the chance to travel around state of Texas, travel to like Louisiana, Las Vegas, and do things like that to play in like high-end tournaments. And then like moving on into like my high school career, I went from Ground Zero Elite that to Rashard Lewis, to like the Rashard Lewis All-Stars. And then that was still just like kids from not just Beaumont, but like the Golden Triangle and surrounding areas, like an all-star team, getting those guys together and then basically doing the same thing, traveling, playing basketball, and just trying to get some notoriety in the state of Texas, in Southeast Texas. And yeah, man, just like having the opportunity, like just to have fun during the summertime, play basketball, step away from football, and just, you know, better myself as a basketball player at that time. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, if I wanted to play basketball, if I wanted to play football. I just know I was good at both, so I just did both during the year.
So was there a point where you had to decide? Like, was there a point where there was a chance you might be going to play, you know, college basketball as opposed to college football? And how do you make that decision if that's the case?
Yeah, so it came down to my senior year. Like, so my junior year, I was getting recruited for football and basketball, going to camps to do football camps, going to camps to do basketball camps and things like that. Like I said, AAU, playing against top tier guys, having scouts in the stands and things like that, getting to have conversations with some of those scouts and stuff like that to see what the basketball future will hold. And then after that, you know, going to like 7-on-7 tournaments and college camps, skill camps and stuff, to see how I could further my career in football and things like that as well. But then when it came down to my senior year in high school, just having to like make that decision, like it was a decision like I not too many players have to make, but it's a tough decision, because for one, like, you can get recruited from one school to play football but not have the opportunity to play basketball, but then you can get the opportunity to play basketball at another school and not be able to play football. But I had the opportunity to go to Baylor. That's why I decided to go out of high school. And at that time, Baylor had a really good basketball team, and like, it was absolutely no reason for me to like join the basketball team. But like, when I got to Baylor, we had a lot of two-sport athletes that played football and things like that. So we really just had fun playing intramural basketball, you know, like the football guys going against like, you know, regular students and stuff like that that played basketball during the year in the rec and stuff. So we had the opportunity to make a football, basketball team and just have fun and just play basketball the way we did. And we actually did really good. We won the championship 1 year, and then the second year we lost like in the finals and things like that. But it was, like I said, it was never trying to like get a job playing basketball. It was always just like the love of the sport and things like that, because like once we made the commitment to play football, that's what we put our all into. It was never just like doing football and then go do basketball drills. We'd always just lock in on football, and if we had the opportunity or the free time to go play basketball, then we'll just go to the rink and play basketball, put up some shots and have fun.
I don't know, Taylor, what yours was like, but if my intramurals, there weren't that many that athletic people. So I'm sure if I had to post up or someone was walking in and they see Willie Jefferson as the guy you're marked up against, that'd be something.
Yeah, I would quickly be turning around and saying, nope, I'm going to go pick up a different sport now.
I'm calling switches every opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. But Willie, you know, who are some of these guys that you used to kind of battle with back in your basketball days? I think I was reading Kendrick Perkins. I know he's a couple years older than you, but he went to your high school, right?
Yeah, so Kendrick Perkins is probably the top tier guy that came out of Beaumont Ozan for basketball. And then also we had guys like Chris Richards that went to Beaumont Ozan. We had guys like Jacobin Brown that went to Port Arthur Memorial, which was the city over that, you know, we played them a lot. We had guys like Jamar Gully. He's overseas playing in China right now. Who else? We had, we played against guys like DeAndre Jordan in like some tournaments. We played against guys like Willie Warren and like AAU. We played against South Oak Cliff at the time. They had guy named Bobo. I have absolutely no idea what his real name is, but he ended up going to Baylor with me. So I ended up getting a chance to see him play as well. And then just like going to Baylor and just like playing, you know, being a athlete, being a, I guess like a top tier athlete, going to like basketball games and then going to like intramural, going to the rec and stuff like that. You get to see the other guys like on the basketball team. Like play with guys like Quentin Acey. Like, he's a really good friend of mine. Corey Jefferson.
Quincy Acey, that guy could rip the rim off. Like, he could throw down nasty dunks.
Like something ferocious when it comes to like post play and dunking and like agilities and like all that type of stuff. Like, it was really fun to watch him play at Baylor. And guys like Pierre Jackson, A.J. Walton, you know, just it was amazing. Like, you know, just to see the skill, like the skill set. Tweety Carter, he was a guy that I got a chance to see play with, you know, play around with in the rec and stuff like that as well. So,
what was the biggest game of your basketball career, or your biggest basketball accomplishment when you look back on it?
My biggest basketball accomplishment was probably helping my high school team make it to the state championship in Texas. Nice. That was 2014. No, that was 2008 or 2007. Like, that was my sophomore year in high school, so that was 2007. That was, like I said, Chris Richards' senior year at Beaumont Ozan. And then we had the opportunity to make it to the state championship game and then ended up losing to South Oak Cliff in the state championship game. And I want to say that that was probably my biggest basketball moment. But just like that year, I was like a nice piece to that team that helped make it that far, you know. So
nice. Of the guys you named, was there anybody that you played at the time where you kind of knew at the time they were going to be an NBA player, or was there someone you thought, man, that guy's going to be like a dude in the NBA and like maybe didn't pan out the way you thought?
Oh, most definitely. When we played DeAndre Jordan in a basketball tournament, I want to say that was probably my sophomore year that we made it to state. We played him in like a tournament early in the season, had the opportunity to see him play against him and stuff like that, and just like the way he moved on the court and like handled scoring and playing defense and stuff like that, I kind of knew he was going to make it to the NBA. And, you know, playing with my guy Chris Richards, knew he was going to be a big talent. Jacoby Brown and my other guy Jamar Gully, like, I knew, like, if they had the opportunity to, you know, just do what they needed to do and, you know, go somewhere where they can get the opportunity to better their skills and know the craft and stuff like that, that they was going to make it far. And still to this day, all of those guys are playing professionally.
So, Willie, you have to make – if you had to make a starting five of a basketball team and you have to use only your Bombers teammates, past Bombers teammates or current Bombers teammates, who would crack Willie Jefferson's starting five basketball unit?
Okay, my starting five, I'll put me at the five. I have Jackson at the four. I have Dembski at the two, because he's a shooter and he can pass. Dembski at the two. I'll put Dietrich Nichols at the one.
Okay.
Because he can dribble. He can dribble and pass. He's not really a big shooter, but he can score when he needs to. So I got Dietrich at the one. Dembski at the two.
Yeah. So you need a three. You need a small forward here.
Who would I put at the three?
A nice 3-and-D kind of guy.
I'm trying to see somebody with some size, but that can move. I'll probably put that's a hard one. Because like that three position is a hard position to play. Because yeah. you gotta be like down low and you gotta be able to defend the perimeter.
I know Dalton Schoen, he played high school hoops in Kansas.
I can see Dalton playing the three. I'll probably have B.A. because B.A. like to play defense, but he's not really necessarily a scorer, so he can, like, you know, just like play defense and get the ball and like facilitate and things like that. So it'll probably be Dietrich, Dembski, B.A., Jackson, and then me. And if not B.A. playing the three, I'll probably put Dembski at the three and put Biggie at the two, just so we can have some movement on the court. Because Biggs can be, you know, a big body. He's just a little on the shorter side. But he can also, you know, play defense and pass the ball good, too.
I feel like Biggie in the post, too, though, would be a monster down there. Might not be the tallest, but, man, that guy can move people.
Most definitely.
I thought you'd have Kenny Lawler on the list for some reason. I thought he'd be.
I was thinking Kenny, but I don't think Kenny's a big basketball guy. So okay. I don't know how he is on the basketball court. I haven't seen Kenny hoop. So none of our offensive linemen would probably make that starting five.
Pat Neufeld, he made Patty, the high school finals in Regina.
I could put Patty as our sixth man. He will come off the bench for me or Jackson to give us some relief. If Patty was to come in, I would go to the four and then let Patty run the post, and I'll just play the four because I'm a big KG fan.
A little O-line love. I like that. I like the segue there, too. So who's your team in the NBA? I know you're a pretty big NBA guy. So who's your squad?
My squad has always been the Houston Rockets. I've always been a Houston Rockets fan. I could care less what the standings are or, you know, win, loss. I've always been a Houston Rockets fan. But I am a huge James Harden fan. So whatever team he's on, I'm pretty much watching them play and watching the Rockets. But I have grown to start liking like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the Celtics, like just like that duo and like how they play together, and seeing Jason Tatum score. I see you with your Celtics cup, and yeah. So I'm just like, you know, yeah. Those are my two teams that I can just turn on the TV and I can just watch them play for sure. I've been locked in to watching some WNBA games as well when they start playing, because, you know, I got, like I said, I went to school with some, like, with some people that play professionally, and like, that's men and women. So, you know, I like to tune in and watch the girls play too as well.
This is, well, it's a James Harden fan. Well, it's a James Harden fan, Willie. I mean, at least you never have to worry about watching the NBA finals, because he always finds a way to choke in the playoffs. So there you go. Save some time in the summer.
Hey, man. I don't know. Maybe this will be his year, man. You know, if he can stay in shape, and he can, you know, handle the ball and not get as many turnovers and things like that, and, you know, get away from the ISO game so much, maybe we can make something happen.
This is the Celtics here. You know, I'll let you bring your hope down a little bit. The Celtics are going to walk away with this year's NBA title. So this is the year for the Celtics. Also, the WNBA, though, I love how much more they're on TV now, because I love New York Liberty ended up becoming my team. I like Sabrina Ionescu. Like, I think that, like, she's so phenomenal, even from her college days. But and if Toronto gets a team, like, once that hits Canada, that's going to be fun, too. When I see a team Winnipeg, but I think that might be a little really far reaching.
That should be really big. That'll be good. That'll be good for Canada, you know, just to have a WNBA team, you know. Not in this. Well, I'm saying Toronto is the hub for
that,
for
would
basketball,
be the one, yeah,
for basketball. So, you know, bringing a WNBA team to Toronto would be huge, especially for, you know, diversity and, you know, equality and stuff like that when it comes to women in basketball. Because I know Toronto has a lot of basketball upside when it comes to, like, women. So.
So you mentioned your teammates and what guys could dribble, what guys could shoot and whatnot. But now, like, do you guys ever get to play basketball together really during the season or off season at all? I mean, I remember growing up, like, I grew up in Winnipeg, obviously. And I remember at school sometimes, once or twice, we had the Bombers come in and they would play the Winnipeg Police Service in a,
yeah.
In a friendly kind of charity game. I don't know if you guys do that still or not. But
we still do that. So that's something that Nick Dembski, he organizes that, like the Bombers versus the Police. Like, I know we still do that, and that's something that Nick organizes. We do Pros versus Joes at Sturgeon Heights. I've been doing that for like the last 2 or 3 years. Been doing that, and then like sometimes like toward the end of the season, like when we get like bye weeks and stuff like that, and a lot of guys that don't leave just like want to stay around and stay active and stuff like that, we'll find a gym and, you know, organize like some time for us to go in and, you know, play some games, shoot around and do some stuff like that. But yeah, like I'm here in the city now, and like I know it's a couple of leagues in the city, like stuff like that. So like I've played a couple of pickup games and stuff like that for now and then, just to get on the court and run around. And it's nothing crazy. Like, you know, I'm not trying to be the only guy like with the ball and stuff like that. Like I know when people see, like you say, when people see people like me walk in the gym, like, oh, that's Willie Jefferson. Like, and I'm actually on the court playing with these people and stuff like that. They just try to give me the ball and see what I can do and stuff like that. So I'm just there to you know, have a good time and play. And if I can, you know, put some buckets up, I'll do that as well, most definitely. But, you know, if it's to the point where, you know, I'm doing it all and they just keep, I'm always passing the ball, trying to get somebody else to score, you know, shoot the ball. Like, I can rebound. Like, I'm a rebound for sure, but I'm not going to always just try to, like, put it all on me. You know what I'm saying? That's not who I am. I've never been like that when it comes to like pickup games or just any game. Like, if we need to win, like, I'm trying to win for sure, but, you know, like, I'm just not trying to be the guy.
Could you imagine just having the worst day at work, right? And you're looking forward to the end of the day to get to that basketball game, let off some steam, and the other team picks up Willie Jefferson and you have to walk in and guard that. That would just be, you know, I could feel that being a demoralizing presence, Willie. I feel like that's that might be a tactic of some teams to keep you on the callback roster as a, I wouldn't say red shirt, but an emergency player. Most if we start a team, can we get you as our emergency player, potentially starter?
I'll pull up just for the intimidation tactic. You know, I'll do the warm-ups, I'll dunk during the warm-ups and stuff like that. And then, you know, I'll sit on the bench like you're gonna put me in, and then I'll just sit there, and then they'll just be waiting for me to come in.
Gonna put everybody on notice. Game one. That's most what we're definitely doing. Saw you, I was working at the Canada West Championships, and you guys, you had a little group that pulled up there for the finals. So how was that experience coming to? I know it wouldn't be anything near what, you know, March Madness, but being able to go out, seeing a local team at the gym and stuff like that, and seeing some of Canada's top collegiate talent.
Most definitely, that was amazing. I honestly want to say that first and foremost. Like, I had an amazing time at U of M watching the Canada West Finals. Had the opportunity to see Victoria play against U of W. Yep. You know, like, I understand, like, it was some kids from Victoria that were high scorers and, you know, elite guys and stuff like that. Got a chance to see them play and then see the young guy for the Sea Bears play, number 5, the point guard for U of
Brandon,
W.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Got to see him play, got to see what he can do. Cause he's like I said, he's the man for U of W. Like, so he was out there putting up shots at a high clip, you know, scoring, keeping his team, you know, in the run. It's just, you know, second half, Victoria came out and was making plays and had the opportunity to go up and win the game, I guess, like, and win the finals. So, but it was a great time. It was a great atmosphere. I had Dembski, I had Dalton with me, and just so happened Chad Posthumus was in the stands as well with us, and, you know, chopping it up with him, just talking basketball, talking, you know, CBL basketball, the upcoming season, hearing some of the new guys that they have coming in, along with Teddy, you know, to give him some help and things like that. I can just see it being a really good year for, you know, Winnipeg and basketball, you know, because if I'm not mistaken, I just seen the young guy from U of W just got player of the game a couple of times and things like that. So,
Nationals, yeah.
For what I understand, he was just like a role player for the Sea Bears and things like that. Hopefully this year he can get on the court a little bit more and, you know, show his skill and things like that. It'll be good for the city. It'll be good for, you know, for him, for sure.
It felt like it was his coming out party this year, for sure. Like, he's always been good, but, like, I think the Sea Bears kind of elevates the spotlight a little bit. Cause yeah, he's a national tournament all-star. I know it was a little disappointing for them in terms of they didn't get as far as they'd like to, the Westman, but yeah, he's an exciting guy to watch. I got to work most of their games this season and doing some color commentary, and it was, yeah, like, he's phenomenal what he could do with the ball, leading the nation in assists. So I hope he gets a shot. I think this year will be his year where he gets a little more CBL love, for sure.
Most definitely.
Willie, what are your thoughts on the Sea Bears? We'd often see, you know, bombers like yourself at the games last summer. Just what were your thoughts on Sea Bears game days and Winnipeg now having pro basketball here?
So the Sea Bears atmosphere was really good. I love the fact that they made Canada Life into a basketball arena. You know, that was cool. Having the opportunity to, you know, sit courtside and watch, you know, a professional basketball game in the city of Winnipeg was fun. To step out with the guys in the community, see, like, let the basketball community see that the football players enjoy, you know, supporting the basketball team. The colors for the basketball team are bright and, you know, lively. You know, I think that's helping out a lot with the team and things like that. The Sea Bear, that being, you know, something close to home for Winnipeg in the province of Manitoba. And just like I said, the atmosphere was really fun. It was really lively. Like when the guys score, the sparklers, like, you know, like,
the, oh yeah, all, the, like, the smoke,
all that
or whatever
stuff coming,
yeah,
out the back of the rim, all that stuff coming out the back of the goal, and, you know, just being able to like attend a full basketball game and seeing how it is like for the first three quarters, and then like when you get to the fourth quarter and it, like the games are being tight, and then they put that target score up there and they turn the clock off, like that was something different. I was amazed that like actually see that, and then see how the tempo of the game like actually changes like in the fourth quarter when it gets down to like the last like five minutes or something like that. Then they turn the clock off and then they put the target score up there. Like you can see guys like really starting to like lock in and really start to like get deep in their bag when it comes to like skills and technique and trying to score, trying to get, you know, the guys who can score the ball, try to play defense a little bit harder. So that was fun. And then like me being like the basketball fan that I am, like going to these games and sitting courtside and then having the opportunity to like literally be a fan and like trash talk the other team, like when they, you know, in transition and stuff like that, like when they at the free throw line have an opportunity to make noise to get them to potentially miss, and then talk more trash to like boost the, like help boost, you know, the morale of our team, the Sea Bears and stuff like that, to see Chad out there dunking, getting rebounds, making block shots, to see Teddy out there shooting the ball from everywhere on the court. You know, see all those guys. Hillebrandt, you know what I'm saying? See him out there, you know, dribbling the ball, crossing people over, you know, doing his moves, shooting the ball, making buckets. Like it was all fun to me to just sit there and just be a fan and watch. Like, cause like I said, like I had the opportunity to play with Chad, had the opportunity to play with Hillebrandt at some of these little pickup games, or like go see them train and like see how they train and stuff like that for like basketball, seeing Chad play with the FIBA three versus three and stuff like that, and like see him out there just like working his craft, and having the opportunity to see Hillebrandt play for U of M, but then see them lose in like the semifinals and things like that, to like not make it to the finals for the Canada West stuff. Like it's good, man. It's been fun and exciting to see like the growth of basketball in the city, because I know like it's a lot of people who love basketball in the city of Winnipeg, and to like I say finally have a professional team here on alongside the basketball teams, like collegiate wise, is something that's helping the city grow and like helping motivate the city to do stuff more positively when it comes to sports outside of football, outside of soccer, outside of hockey, you know. So
yeah, I'm glad you touched on that. I've always been interested to see like, you know, what that experience would be like for a pro athlete to kind of have that break in season to go watch and be a fan. So it's cool to hear that, you know, you're enjoying that as well. What do you think, Taylor? Time for target time?
It's time.
All right, Willie, are you ready for target time?
Let's do it.
The way it works, Willie, kind of like it's supposed to be rapid fire. It's not going to be rapid, I promise you that. We have 5 questions each. Just some fun questions, whatever comes to mind. I will start. So I'll say, what's one word that describes Willie Jefferson best as a basketball player?
Explosive.
Explosive. Is that like because you're just going to throw down dunks left, right, and center over people? Or
that's because I'm out there running the floor. I'm out there giving, like, you know what I'm saying, the give and go, the pick and rolls. I'm out there blocking. I'm out there rebounding. If I get the opportunity to get a fast break, I'm punching it for sure. If I have the opportunity to catch like a rebound off the rim, I'm putting it back for sure. And if, you know, like I said, I got guys like Dembski, Big Hill, and Dietrich to pass me the ball when they doing their thing, it's an opportunity that I can do something explosive.
I want to call you TNT. That's your basketball nickname. TNT. Hey. TNT Jefferson.
There it is. Okay, so my first question, target time for you, Willie. What kind of basketball player would Mike O'Shea be?
Ooh. I feel like Coach O'Shea would probably be a good 4. If I could put a basketball player to Coach O'Shea, I'll say Birdman.
The Birdman, like Chris Anderson.
Chris Anderson, okay.
Because I can see, like, because he's a... he's an emotional guy. Like when it comes to sports, like when it comes to sports and like, you know what I'm saying, being competitive and things like that, he's very high tempo, right? So like that's Chris Anderson. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he plays defense because Coach O'Shea is a rough guy. Him being a linebacker, you know, special teams guy, he's already used to, you know, getting bumped around, you know what I'm saying, moving people around. So that was something that Chris Anderson was really good at and things like that. And like I say, like if he had the opportunity to, you know, get the ball in the post or, you know, fast break or, you know, slashing type thing, like I feel like he's not going to dunk the ball, but he's going to do like a good power layup or a good power move to put the ball in the basket.
Just missing the mohawk and the 500 tattoos, and then he could be Chris Anderson. There you go.
Hey, I'm saying, like, I've never seen Coach O'Shea rock a mohawk, but I think he might be able to pull it off.
maybe that's the extra added incentive for a Grey Cup. If you guys win, he's got to shave the mohawk just so we can get the Chris Anderson look totally. I think Mike O'Shea gets fouled out pretty early. I think he's averaging 100%. About a foul a minute.
See, that's what I'm saying. See, hey, he's coming in because, like, you know, Coach O'Shea is a hockey guy, right? You know what I'm saying? So he's just coming in to check guys, boom, put him back on the bench. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you need him to come in and make a nice hard foul, put him in, get him out.
Yeah, I grew up playing basketball in the same area where Mike's from, and I remember playing the North Bay teams, and they were intense, and they've had some dudes that foul out, and I feel like he fit that mold perfectly. All right, my next question, because you already talked about the good guys, so I'll shorten this one. Which Blue Bomber teammate would be the worst basketball player?
I feel like it'll probably have to be Stanley Bryant. I'm just being, that's, you know, like, with him being as old as he is, him not being able to, like, you know, move and do all the stuff that he used to be able to do, I think Stan might be the worst. Like, I know for a fact Liam would give him buckets.
Okay. Liam Dobson. Okay.
I know for a fact Liam's on my team. Just so you know, Liam's on the team. He's not a starter, but he's on the team. You know, Liam can get some buckets, get some rebounds, can move some guys out the way. I don't know if he's going to make it up the court that fast. You know, we might have to wait for him if we're doing the half court game. But, you know, I feel like Stan might be the worst guy. If not Stan, I think it might have to be Shane Gauthier.
There was zero hesitation to drop a name, and then you also have a backup. So you know what, thank you for that. This is the most prepared target time I think we've ever had from a guest, so that was awesome. So Stanley Bryant unfortunately gets that title.
There's a media avail this week with Stanley Bryant, so that might have to be my opening question to him, Willie, to see if he can defend himself.
He's from the Carolinas, so you know you're supposed to be able to hoop if you're from the Carolinas.
That is true.
I'm just saying, okay. He might be able to hoop. He might tell you a story from back in the day, but right now, I don't know. He could be a really good coach on my team. He could coach my team. He wouldn't play on my team. He could coach my team, though.
Well, someone asked the coach, so there you go. But yes, I will ask Stanley that this week, 100%. Well, nothing to do with my story or whatever, but I'm just going to ask him for curiosity reasons. But my next target time question, Willie, at the 22 Grey Cup, you wore a Kobe Bryant jersey in pregame warm-up. But if you can add any other basketball jersey to your collection,
I have plenty basketball jerseys. I have plenty. Oh. So I can run down a couple.
What's your golden one? What's your golden one? Like the best
my
one?
My golden basketball jersey will probably have to be, I have the Kobe 8 jersey. I also have the Kobe 24 jersey. I have Michael Jordan's 23 jersey with the Red Bulls.
Yeah, okay.
I have Shaquille O'Neal's Orlando jersey.
Oh, ooh,
I absolutely nice. That's my favorite. I love Shaq. When he was with the Lakers, when he was winning with the Lakers. But when Shaq was with the Magic, him and Penny Hardaway.
Yeah,
skinny you Shaq.
Know? You know what I'm saying? Shaq with the fuzz on his head.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I got a Shaquille O'Neal Orlando Magic's jersey. I got a Larry Bird green Celtics jersey. I have the Charles Barkley Suns jersey.
These are stellar.
The Kimbe Mutombo Hawks jersey.
Oh, that I don't think I've ever seen one of those in person. That's a nice deep find.
Who else? Got a James Harden jersey. I got two of those. Akeem Olajuwon throwback Rockets jersey.
Is it the red one or is it like that navy blue one or are they the pinstripes?
The blue one with the red lining with the throwback Rocket. That's my favorite Rockets jersey era when they were doing that, like him, Steve Francis you know,
Yao Ming.
Yeah. Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good team.
Or Mucci Norris. I have a Kevin Durant jersey, Supersonics.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Ray Allen, Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Damn, okay.
I lost my Shaq jersey. So like Shaq is probably my favorite all-time player. And I had a black and a blue Magic jersey. Oh, man, lost them both.
I love that jersey.
I do have my Sean Kemp Sonics one, though, still. And I lost and found again my Peja Stojakovic. If people watch this podcast now know I have this thing for Peja Stojakovic from Sacramento era.
Sacramento Kings, man.
Yeah, I lost the purple one that I had in high school. And then I somehow found it because there's a bunch of like local jersey dudes here, like vintage jerseys. And then this one dude had it. I just messaged him. I'm like, I need this. And I got my page. I don't think there was a lot of competition for that one, but I got it, so I'm good. Man, that's a decent list. I'm very impressed with that.
But if you can add one though, Willie, like if maybe Holly's gonna listen to this, and for Christmas she'll get it for you. So if you can add a jersey to the collection,
if I could add a jersey to my collection, right, I will want a George Gervin Iceman jersey, throwback San Antonio Spurs. Oh, I also have a Karl Malone jersey too.
Oh, like, and you're talking like Mountain Jazz, right? Is it Mountain Jazz or is it like the early Malone?
No,
yeah, the Mountain. I love that. Yeah,
those are beauties.
Most definitely, okay. Purple one too. It's purple.
Those are that's an underrated jersey for sure. I would love for them to bring that back full time. All right, are you a sneaker guy?
Most definitely, big sneakerhead.
Okay, what's the GOAT basketball shoe?
My go-to basketball shoe will probably always be Jordans. I feel like the best basketball Jordan shoe that you could probably wear is the Jordan 10s.
Okay.
They're so comfortable. But I'm a big Jordan 5 guy, so I like wearing the 5s. But if I had to go outside of the Jordans, I would probably say the James Hardens. Those are really comfortable. And then I've been talking to my guys that play overseas and stuff like that, so they wear like the Leinings and stuff like that, like the Chinese shoes, like the ones like Klay Thompson and Dwayne Wade wear. So
yeah, well, I can't remember the name of that one. They're relatively new.
Is that Peak?
No, I think it's like Leinings or something like that. Hmm. I might be saying it wrong, but yeah. So okay. I've seen some of my guys wear those. I like the new Anthony Edwards shoes too. They look pretty nice too.
He had a very ballsy marketing on that too, where he like basically called out his shoe being the best shoe in the game right now. So that one had to live up a little bit.
Well, he might be the best player in the game right now, so I guess he can have some confidence there.
Jordan 18, super underrated.
40,000.
Willie, well, I mean, a pass knockdown is supposed to be a defensive back stat, but somehow every year Willie Jefferson is near the top of the league or leading the league in pass knockdowns. But what feels better, a block shot in basketball or knocking down a pass in football?
I kind of feel like they're the same. Like, that's how I take it, right? So, like, I grew up playing basketball, always was the taller guy. You know, little guys used to always try to come in the paint, go underneath, or, like, you know, do, like, the pump fake and stuff like that. So if you can really just, like, time it up really good and get you a good block shot and stuff like that, change transition, you know, and things like that, I feel like it's the same way in football. So, like, I do my pass rush, quarterback pull up to throw the ball, and he throws it, and then I just go up and knock it down. Like, that's got to be the same feeling that a point guard gets when he goes up against a center trying to lay the ball up, trying to shoot a floater, and just goes up and just knocks it out, you know what I'm saying, knocks it out of bounds, or, you know, tip it to a teammate. I was talking to my friend last night that plays basketball, right? So he's a small forward, so he plays the three, okay, right? And he has, like, guys on his team that's, like, 7 foot, 7'2", and things like that. And I'm like, I could never imagine being that guy that walks into a locker room and have to look up to somebody like that every day. Like, I'm always the tallest guy in the locker room, right? At 6'7". So I can imagine, like, what I look like to Dietrich Nichols every day, walking in and, like, standing on side of him and him having to, like, look up like this. Like, I'm 6'7". If I have to do, like, look up to somebody that's 7'2" like this, like that's weird to me, right? And then, like, just to put it in, like, perspective, like, for him to go up, like, he's already, like, a big guy. Like, my friend, like, he's already a big guy. So, like, he dunking and stuff like that. So for him to go up against a 7 foot guy and then try to, like, do, like, a layup or do a dunk, and him for just to block it, like, I have to feel like that has to be so disrespectful, right? So the same feeling that these quarterbacks get when they try to throw a pass and I'm at the line of scrimmage, or, you know, coming to them and they try to throw it and try to get it over me, and I just knock it down to the ground, you know, pick it up and then do my celebration. It's got to be some type of disrespect for them in their mind. So block shots on the basketball court and, you know, knockdowns on the football field, those are probably, like, my two best feelings when it comes to, you know, competition and, you know, rejection for other teams, most definitely.
Man, that's I think the one difference too, I would say, at least with a block or a knockdown pass, the play stops, right? Like, you're able to celebrate every time. With the block, if you get the disrespectful one that goes out of bounds, great. But then you got to, like, quickly get back onto defense. Like, I feel like with the knockdown pass, at least you can enjoy it a little bit more.
Most definitely. That's football though, right? That's football.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We're actually gonna break the barrier of basketball and football only. I'm opening it up to all sports. Who is Willie Jefferson's GOAT athlete? Could be any sport.
My greatest of all time athlete.
Most and definitely. This is not, like, this is just your opinion. It doesn't matter.
No, I'm saying, so, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a wide range, you know what I'm saying, sports enthusiast. So, you know, I have GOATs for every sport. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Michael Jordan, to me, will always be the greatest of all time, you know, and then right after him, it'll be Kobe, and then right after Kobe, it'll be LeBron. Like, that's okay. My order. You know, I grew up watching Michael Jordan, saw him retire, you know, and do those things, win the rings and stuff like that. Boom. I saw Kobe come and, you know, basically get the torch from Michael Jordan and do all those things, those great things with him and, you know, Shaq and Derek Fisher and Robert Horry and all those guys that played with the Lakers with him. And then I got the chance to see him retire, right? But then you got to see LeBron get the torch from Kobe. And then, you know what I'm saying, he won his rings and he's still doing his thing. So when I get the chance to see LeBron retire, it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be great for me because I got to see all three of those guys, you know, play at a high clip, you know what I'm saying, and actually pass the torch on to the next great player, right? So that's basketball. And when it comes to football, greatest of all time, like, I don't know, like, I'm a skills guy at heart. Okay. So, like, you know, my absolute GOAT is Randy Moss. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Randy Moss is up there. Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Junior Seau, DeMarcus Ware, quarterback, it'll probably have to be, you know, Tom Brady. You know, right now, Patrick Mahomes is playing at a high clip. Hockey, you know, gotta go with Gretzky. You know, like, I've absolutely heard nothing bad about him. But then, like, now, the guys that's playing now, like Crosby, like, he's gonna be one of those guys that's gonna go down in history as a great. Ovechkin, he's gonna be one of those guys, you know, for the Capitals. And then, is it the Capitals? Is it the Washington?
You got it. Yep.
So yeah, though, like him and what he's did for that team, for the league and things like that. So, and then
he's soccer. You really are a Winnipegger now.
Going down the hockey.
And then, you know, like I'm saying, like for soccer, I know it, like Messi. The new guy that got the big contract.
Who would that be, Taylor? I'm not a big soccer guy. So.
Mbappe, maybe? Or
Yeah. Bobby, him. So, you know, if he can do his thing, you know, I know he signed like one of the biggest contracts for a soccer player and things like that. And yeah. But so women's basketball, I want to say my GOAT would probably be Cheryl Swoops, one. Mm-hmm. And then Dawn Staley, just because of the stuff that she did while she was playing basketball and now what she's doing, you know, with the women's basketball in college. And, like, she's helping those girls, like, be amazing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just not just basketball players, like, you know what I'm saying, but just women in general, like, you know what I'm saying, giving them the mindset to do great things on and off the court. So yeah, most definitely.
I'd love to have a beer with Dawn Staley. I feel like she'd be so interesting to sit down and just hear stories from. She's awesome. All right, Taylor, let's go. You're next, buddy.
Well, as a Vikings fan, I did appreciate the Randy Moss reference, so thank you for that, Willie. But final target time question. Who's the greatest, this is kind of a perfect segue, who's the greatest basketball player to ever come out of Texas, in your opinion?
The greatest basketball player to come out of Texas. He's not from Texas, but he went to UT, Kevin Durant.
A true Texan, though. Someone who's from Texas.
I'm trying to see TJ Ford, Kendrick Perkins. Always, you'll always be a great to me. No, I like just most definitely because I had the opportunity to like grow up under him. You know, see him go from the neighborhood to, you know, playing organized basketball in high school, then going from high school. That was the first person I seen go from high school straight to the league, personally. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
the greatest
basketball player to come out of Texas.
There's Marcus Aldridge, Chris Bosh, Trey Young, Grant Hill.
It'll probably have to be either Chris Bosh because he won the championships, right?
Yeah, like, okay.
We get that conversation a lot, especially me and Jackson. You know, Jackson being from Dallas, me being from like Southeast Texas and things like that. Like, he having like a lot of guys from like that Dallas-Fort Worth area coming out and going to the league and stuff like that. and making it so far. So I think Chris Bosh might be the greatest basketball player to come out of Texas, most definitely. Just because of his skill set and then the accomplishments that he's able to have.
If Kendrick Perkins doesn't get injured in 2010, I think the Celtics have banner 18 as well. So, yeah, I like that. I like Kendrick Perkins. He was awesome when he was a Celtic. All right, that will conclude Target Time. Willie, thanks for taking the time. I guess before we let you go, how are you feeling about the season coming up? It's a big season for the Bombers. You're coming off four straight Grey Cup appearances. What's the feeling like going into this season?
Just get the job done. You know, go in, have fun, compete at a high clip, and just do what we've been doing. You know, try to go one game at a time, take it one week at a time, try to build this build up our culture around the new guys, you know, have them fit in and just, you know, hit the ground running. Like, you know, like you said, we've been to the dance four times in a row for the last 4 years. You know, that's the goal at the beginning of the season, to be there at the end of the season. But, you know, it's a lot of hard work and preparation that goes into that. And I feel like the older guys that are coming back, the older guys that are coming from other teams and things like that to this roster, the young guys that are coming to this team are gonna really enjoy, you know, working with us, working with the coaches, enjoy the atmosphere on game day, and we're gonna put out some great content for sure. You know, we're gonna win some games. I know some of the games might be close for close. Some of the games might be closer than we want them to be, but that's football, you know. Every team has their day, you know. So just want to go out there and put the best Winnipeg team on the field, give our fans exactly what they want. We want Zach to put a lot of touchdowns in the end zone. We want Brady to, you know, run a lot of guys over to get to the end zone. You know, we want our DBs to make a lot of interceptions, a lot of knockdowns. We want our defense to, you know, stop offenses, period. So if we can do that and continue to do that and continue to be the Winnipeg Blue Bomber team that we've been for the last 4 years, we'll handle business.
Well, looking forward to the season ahead and looking forward to doing this again. Love to have you on again. This was a great chat. You know, big basketball guy. You want to hash it out, you're always welcome to come on Target Score Weekly.
Most definitely, man. I appreciate you guys. I'll see you at the Sea Bears games this year for sure.
All right. We'll see you there, Willie. Thank you for listening to the Target Score Weekly podcast. To stay up to date with Winnipeg Sea Bears and CEBL news, as well as future episode releases, follow Joey and Taylor on Twitter and Instagram at TaylorAllen31 and at JoeySlattery TV. And wherever you're getting the podcast, be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.